Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, it's not Halloween, but it is time to panic, and I have cold blood. I'm not much for a melodrama and the panic, but things have changed, and Americans are going to not get used to it, but Americans are going to have to deal with it, and they're going to have to deal with it individually and in our culture and in our damn Congress. They're going to have to deal with it. Things have changed, and unfortunately, the San Bernardino massacre was probably more than the Twin Towers to bring that to mind, just because it happens. It happens here, and we've had centuries of being the nation that was an island, and we felt protected, and we felt that, you know, the bad guys didn't come to us, we went to them. It was, you know, World War One, World War Two. We went over there. And even in World War Two, we had our silliness. We said, well, it's going to be those Italians and them Germans and, of course, the Japanese. And we set up concentration camps. We called detention centers or internment centers, depending on which coast you were on. And we had passed isolation laws, and we did all kinds of stuff to keep all them damn foreigners out, because they all kind of wanted to come get what is ours and get us. And now we have been looking for quite some time at European and Middle Eastern nations, and some in Asia and Africa, dealing with people coming into their country and killing their citizens for various political and or religious purposes. In fact, we should even differentiate on that, but we'll get into that in a minute. So this is the second of a bookmark. Unfortunately, it's going to be a series on terrorism and terrorists and the bad guys. And let's think about what's going on here in the United States of America, because we have been so used to saying it always happens over there, out there, with the other. And, you know, first of all, that's delusional. That's like crazy talk, because here in the United States, we have seen that, you know, the vast majority of deaths by bombs and guns and knives and any kind of terrorism have not been, you know, them coming over to get us. World Trade Towers aside, what we have is the domestic guys, the Timothy McVeighs and the others who kill Americans for their weird purposes, for their religious purposes, for their political purposes, for their sick amusement. I have no doubt that the San Bernardino murders, the 14 who were shot down there in that massacre, and the 17 who were wounded, will embolden people, because they think either the domestic people and the foreign people say, ah, well, we can get to America too. We can do that. And they're going to do it. So ever since 9/11, we have been in a mild state of panic, and most of it was crazy. But now it's not so crazy anymore, and it did finally get here, and we knew it was coming. We just didn't know how long it was going to be till it got here. And I was thinking about that. We go to, here in Boston, we go to the Harbor Islands, and the largest of them is Fort Warren. Has Fort Warren, and it was built right before the Civil War, after 1812. And it was to protect us from all the bad guys coming in from someplace. And it ended up being used as a prison during the Civil War. And there were some famous people there. The British Leggetts, Mason and Slidell were held there, and a number of Confederate officers. And they got to bribe their way to get special food, and they got booze, and they got sex, and they got, you know, it's like the rich man's prison. But they got to play that, and then there were ordinary soldiers there who had far less nice condition. But that's out there in Fort Warren. But then, you know, come World War One, we were all ready. We mounted terrifically large guns out there that could shoot many, many miles because we just knew they were coming to get us. And we were ready for World War II also, and we just knew it was going to be the submarines and the warships, and everybody here in Boston knew that they were coming to get us because we were, well, we call ourselves the cradle of democracy. I think that really belongs more with Philadelphia or New York, the places that were capitals of the nation. But anyway, but we like that. We have the fantasy here in Boston that we are where the Revolutionary War started and continued, and we're the only reason that there is an America, and blah, 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 blah. So that's not true, but it's, you know, there are some whiffs of there is similitude in there. But we were just convinced they were coming. And the guns at Fort Warren were never fired to protect, never fired in aggression, because they never came. There's some thought that maybe there were one or two subs that got lost and sank on their own somewhere out there, but Boston was never attacked, not in World War One, not World War Two, not in the Korean War, not in the Cold War, never attacked. And they finally took the big guns out of Fort Warren, and you can see where the bases are cracked, but those are all cracked because target practice, because it was never used, because they never came to get us. They never wanted us. And I was thinking about that a couple weeks ago. We were coming back from Seattle, and we were on a plane and Sun Country, and its hub is Minneapolis. And it was, everybody there had nice Midwestern accents, and they were very pleasant. And a couple rows in front of me, there's a flight attendant, and she started the routine. There's a military guy there. And she went on and on about some loony rap, and it was like one I've heard in variations again and again and again, that Minneapolis was considered to be the most desirable target for the terrorist, and that's why they had to be extra careful, and because everybody wanted Minneapolis, and they needed extra protection because it was at a great place, and all the terrorists were going to come get them, which is crazy. I mean, that's American exceptionalism at its most parochial. We are not only Americans, but we are within our region, the great place, and everybody wants us, and therefore we need extra homeland security money, extra tanks and big vehicles and lots of troops and more money, and because we've got to be armed all the way because the terrorists are coming all the way from wherever, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, you name it, they're going to come over here, and they're going to wade themselves all the way through to the middle of the United States, up in the, where it gets cold, and going to say, we want to harm Minneapolis. And, you know, I listened to her, and she went on for some time about it, maybe 10 minutes. And it was a loony rap. But I have no doubt whatsoever that she believed it, and I have no doubt that that has played out in cities and towns and rural sections throughout the United States, is they believe that they are so exceptional that they are the ones that the terrorists want, and they are the ones who deserve protection. And it's going to happen, and they need to be all set for it. And I really can't blame them other than it's just, you know, historically ignorant, and it's irrational. It's weighed far too far out there. And it's not going to happen, and it didn't happen. But nevertheless, we are in a situation where we need to do things as a nation, and we're not prepared to do it. We saw that a couple of days ago when the Senate had a choice of expanding the restrictions on firearm ownership to people who were on the terrorist watch list. People who aren't allowed to fly. They're so dangerous, they're not allowed to get on an airplane. But yet, the GOP in the U.S. Senate refused to expand that to gun ownership. So they're too dangerous to fly. But sure, let's sell them assault rifles. That would be a good idea, wouldn't it? Because that gives them their Second Amendment rights. And I got to say, you know, it's the craziness. And, you know, if the GOP cannot protect us in that way, they're not going to do anything at all. It's got to come out of the office of the White House, the POTUS, and It's really pathetic that the GOP won't do it, won't do anything to help us as a nation, and they somehow think that, and they also they won't even deal with bombing. They won't deal with the treaties. They won't deal with the protection that all of our allies have done: the Germans, the French, the English. Their parliaments and equivalents have all discussed and passed the laws necessary for them to go against Daesh, the Islamic State, and they we can won't do it. Our Congress won't do it. The Republicans in Congress won't allow it. So we're not seeing what we need from them, and we're not going to see it anytime soon, and we have some delusion. And for delusion, that's what we need to deal with, is we have some kind of fantasy that if only we could keep all new Muslims out of the country, that would keep us safe. That would keep Minneapolis safe. We do want to keep Minneapolis safe, don't we? And that isn't the problem, has not been the problem. And yeah, maybe the guys that flew the planes into the World Trade Towers and got downed in Pennsylvania and hit the White House or hit the Pentagon. Yeah, maybe those are radical Islamists, and you can say that, but it's not a problem we're going to be solving by restricting Muslim visitors and residents in immigration, and that's not what it's not going to help us. But it's delusional when we think, oh yeah, if only we keep the damn Muslims out, everything will be fine. And we look at it, and it isn't. It's the terrorists in the United States, the ones who kill in twos and tens and dozens, are self-proclaimed Christians, and they're white, and they're just like you and just like me in the main part. And people can get crazy about it, but you got to say, you know, the people who say, I'm a God-fearing Christian, are the ones who are likely to kill you. And it happens, you know, in the orders of tens of thousands a year, and sometimes it's one-on-one, and sometimes it's mass shootings and mass murders, but it's not the problem there. You cannot, you know, restrict all Americans. I mean, we have an area where I do think that we need to get serious about gun regulation here. We have to have universal background checks, and you know, that might cut down, maybe it cuts down things 5%, 10%, 15% if we keep the, but that's a lot of lives, a whole lot of lives. And I don't think we're going to be trotting on the rights of bona fide Americans if we go out there and renew the assault weapons ban. I mean, there is no reason to have semi-automatic and fully automatic handguns and long barrels and huge magazines. We need to do what all these other countries have done that have low murder rates and get those out of people's hands. Buy them back. Don't let them get them to begin with. The simple things. And people can scream all they want, but if you're looking at that slippery slope, we need to walk a step or two down that slope. And we're not going to fall down there. And it's, you know, the Second Amendment is more than protected. But what we got to do is restrict the weapons to the point where they're just not freely available to everybody. And that is going to cut down on the mass murders. And it's we can see that. Australia is a great example because they're very much like us, the same size country, and they had the same problems, and they had the Wild West mentality that we had. Theirs is the outback, but it's the Wild West. But they had many mass murders, and you know, after one particular bad one, a few dozen people got shot down. You know, they did. They went to the whole thing about the buybacks, and they outlawed a whole bunch of weapons whose sole purpose is mass murder. What we call assault guns, and I mean, that's, we know it works, and we can see it in there. We can see it in Switzerland. We can see it in a number of other countries, that places that still have high gun ownership, but they don't allow the weapons that are designed for mass murder. So we can do that, but we got to stop pretending that it's them damn Muslims. It isn't at all. It's them damn Christians, or the people who call themselves Christians. As I, you know, I don't understand how you can say you're Christian or pro-life and you go off and murder people. It's illogical. It's irrational. It's dishonest. It's dishonorable. And we don't need to kowtow to those people. And I don't care if they belong to the NRA. But we need to stop that. And it's really not that big a deal to do that. So on the last one of my bookmarks, I said, you know, call or visit your congresspeople and your state reps and senators. And I did do it again. If you've done it, hey, thank you. If you haven't yet, shame. Get your act together. You got to tell these people to get this stuff done. And we need to have the simple things done. And I'm not exactly sure. Maybe it'll be after this election period, a cycle when all those Republicans are out there, crying, terror, panic, screaming at the Muslims. They're, you know, just terrible. Let's say if you only get them out of the country, everything will be fine. No, it won't. We have a country full of tens of millions of Christians who are just unhinged. So the least we can do is get assault weapons out of their hands. But we also need to change your attitude and thinking about, who's going to do this kind of thing? And look around, and I think we're going to find out it's the self-proclaimed Christians, the self-proclaimed evangelicals that are far more dangerous than the Muslims. And, if we go into another one of these isolationist periods, I mean, that's, you know, the world still laughs at the United States for, you know, turning down the League of Nations, for, you know, isolationism in the 1920s, you know, the allegedly progressive era was one that we saw, a great xenophobia, and it got us no place, and except it got us into, first the World War One, then World War Two, and we could stop the delusion and be much, much better off as a nation and the world. So that's my rant today, is just like, it is not the Muslims that are causing the problem here. It is the Christians in the main part. And, you know, stopping immigration or visitation by Muslims is not going to solve our problems. And we should get our act together before the next mass murder. And that's not, we don't have time enough to do that. But if we have a mass shooting every day, which we've had so far, actually a little more than one a day, we need to start right away. And so you need to call your people and talk to your people and visit your people and say, you know, senator, representative, you know, this is what we need to do, and make it plain that you don't want to see that, and you don't want assault weapons in every corner store, which is, that's an exaggeration, but every town. We don't need that. And, you know, places like California had some pretty good laws. But the couple who killed all these people in San Bernardino got around those. But we need to make it more difficult. We need to make assault weapons disappear. And we can do that. And the people can still have their dozen handguns. And they can have their hunting rifles. And they can have lots of stuff. But I don't want anybody in my neighborhood or my city or my state or my region or my country to have assault weapons. Thank you very much. And I think your job can very well be to think about the Christmas present for your state and federal reps in Congress and your legislature locally, is to tell them what you want done and how we have to get our act together and stop this silliness, and not make assault weapons easily available, and buy them back. So let's get it done. You help me, I'll help you. Let's all do it. This is the good week for it. So Merry Christmas.